Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and we're talking to Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves. This interview is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Mayor D.C. Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here, as always.
Great to have you. Let's start with what I think is the almost perfect coincidence of timing that we can get an answer to a question we've been dying to have the answer for, which is this. We just spent a ton of money renovating Palafox. The big reason was not because of cosmetics. It wasn't even really because of surface issues and the cuts in the pavement. Really, the big goal was to get stormwater management accomplished for the first time ever in the history of that street. We had a massive downpour on Thursday or Wednesday, whatever day it was, right around the time of city council. So how did Palafox handle the big rain?
Yeah, very well. I actually Thursday night, it had been raining for a couple hours. We were at our city council meeting, and so then a bunch of us were huddled up waiting on, just never-ending rain coming down. I didn't bring an umbrella, so I sprinted in my suit to my car. And before I went to turn to go home the other way, I was like, you know what? I'm in the car. Let's see how Palafox is doing. So I drove to Palafox and government, and it was as high and dry as certainly I've ever seen it. In after I don't know how many inches of rain had fallen, but it had been going pretty hard for a while. So that's your complete non-stormwater engineer assessment. Uh-huh. But I can tell you. What I do know, as a former downtown business owner, I own the brewery at Perfect Plain on Garden Street, very close to Palafox. We had sandbags, like we just had them in the closet. And so I know many other small business owners are that way. They probably still have them there now
because that
was just the way of life.
Yeah.
The idea that, it certainly feels good to know that you make that type of investment and, maybe they can, store, napkins and plates and all the other things you need to run a business as opposed to having to, stick sandbags in the back for a rainy day.
I think we have problem solving galore here. You can pitch the county on beach renourishment with all of the sandbags that all the Palafox business owners keep in storage just in case. See?
Man, so. that's the steward of the taxpayer dollar right there.
Love it. Man, lots of stuff to talk about. I will probably forget because you and I were talking off the air. And next week you're going to have a chance to do a kind of a cool thing. Tell them. Well, that is a first. We genuinely thought we had this thing figured out. And can I just do a little inside housekeeping? We thought we figured out the phone system by if we call them, it never fails. I was literally telling my engineer yesterday, it's never failed when we call them. Don't ask me to explain why. We just dropped DC when we called him. Sorry, DC. You there, sir?
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. I was going to say, this time I was still on, you just went away.
So, I know.
You had said we were talking off air, and I didn't hear the rest.
Well, if it happens again, call back, please, because we like a lot of stuff to cover. we'll just make it work. Anyway, next week, what's going to happen?
Sorry, I didn't miss your context.
We talked about it off the air. You got an invitation from the mayor of Philadelphia.
Oh, yes. So all the mayors of the country are getting together for the big America 250 celebration in Philadelphia. So bipartisan group. I think it's going to be televised on C-SPAN. And so kind of time capsule, both literally and, the moment of, all the mayors 250 years later of cities all over the United States getting together. And, so maybe it's a photo my great-great-grandkids will appreciate one day.
Nice. And I will say there was a part of me that when you said you're going to be on C-SPAN, there's a part of me that's like, oh, cool. And then I'm like, it's C-SPAN. It's nerd fame. But okay. It's still,
exactly.
You got to take it. It's a good
thing. I'll take it anyway. I can get
it. Right. Why not? East Hill Sidewalks. You guys are in the process of grinding and repairing and repaving because, there's over time roots grow, things settle, and you get trip and fall hazards, right?
That's right. And we've been doing this around the city. Easy to notice where we've done it. You see kind of the brighter color concrete because we've grinded down those areas that have been pushed up right there at the seams between each kind of concrete space. So we are going into Old East Hill, really not only Old East Hill, all the way to the bayou, east and west, kind of south of Cervantes. So you'll start to see some more of that work. So if you're out jogging or walking and making it, again, not only more ADA accessible if you're in a wheelchair or on crutches, but But even when you're just on a jog, we get a lot of those comments positively saying, hey, you know, I used to run on that road and you know, I'd even trip just jogging and with some of these really old ones. And so we're trying to, again, same way we pave roads, all that. Sometimes it's not the most exciting, the sexiest thing to talk about, but this is the type of stuff that we're doing, maybe when you're not paying as close attention, that we try to make the city safer and make the city better for everybody.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, the basic work of the engineers, the audio team, the production team, and a theater production. Like, you notice them best when you don't notice. They're doing their job best when you don't notice it at all. Well, you know, a lot of communities, you'll go and you'll see a crack in a pavement and somebody has orange spray painted around it as a hazard, which is a fine day one solution, but that's not a great year one solution, you know? Like, and that's the problem is, you know, getting it fixed in the long run so that it's, or in the shorter run, absolutely, so that it's actually in better shape. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Hang on for just a second, Mr. Mayor. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Let's see here. We've got an accident, a hit and run in Johnson Avenue by Olive Road, and then we have another one on North Davis Highway by Johnson Road. Those just literally occurred. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Bird on, second stage approval, you know, a 200-plus million project, 76, I think, million coming from Triumph. Just give us the, you know, this is big stuff. What's going to happen? What can we expect to see if this really does go through at the port?
Yeah, absolutely. What you'll see is a $105 million building, 400,000 square feet in the northeast quadrant. And what that means in real terms is that open area, if you've ever sat out back at the fish house or a pit slip area over there, that it's the open grassy kind of quartile, northeastern quartile. That's where we'll go. It'll be what we believe is the Trump administration's first reshoring of shipbuilding jobs in the United States. As you know, this has been a huge priority of the administration. And so City of Pensacola will be the first one to be able to get that done. And it'll be working on boats for the Marines and the Coast Guard. And most importantly, selfishly here at the City of Pensacola, 2,000 jobs, average salary, 80,000. What does that mean? That's $160 million of payroll per year coming from somewhere else, mm-hmm. not moving money around in the same community. But that's $160 million coming from somewhere else other than Pensacola to put food on the table, to pay for power bills, to create futures for people and real careers for people. And so I can tell you the next 4 years, our economic development focus isn't on finding another bird on. It's going to be on how do we make darn sure that these 2,000 jobs are going to Pensacolians.
Yeah.
And that means we've got to get very, very proactive on the workforce development side. Fortunately, I'm on the Career Source Board. I've got some of those relationships already. So we're going to have a summit at the city with federal, state, and local workforce development leaders. Where I'm going to bring them all together and just say, let's identify problems and let's pick solutions right now. You know, that we're not going to wait until these jobs are here. We're going to go ahead and do it concurrently to make sure that our kids and our grandkids are getting to participate and get these high quality jobs.
And I assume a lot of lessons learned from the ST engineering and what went well, what
That's
didn't
right.
go so well is going to, you know, translate into a better capability of, you know, properly making use of that opportunity. I love it. Hey, quick question, just because I've heard it on the rumor mill. The Gulf yep. Power building is still looking for a permanent occupant, and one of the sort of, you know, rumbled, rumored, speculated occupants would be more the management for the Burdon folks, aside from the big building that they're going to be building. Do you know anything about either is anybody moving into that building, or could Burdon be the occupants?
I have heard that the buyer of that building has reached out to them, but obviously that's a company and a property owner. That you, certainly the city has no role in that.
Okay.
But I would look at it. I would analyze it from the outside, just like you. That would make a lot of sense for whatever their, you know, equivalent management senior. It doesn't. You don't need to be on port, but pretty close by. That would be a good location. And whether that would take up, that's a big building, by the way.
Sure,
whether that would take up the whole building, part of the building. See, all those details, you know, we're not aware of. But if there's something that we can do to make sure that those jobs are staying close by the port and are in the city of Pensacola, we would absolutely help.
A couple of things I want to talk about. One is the ongoing controversy over the library, where, you know, I've heard Jen Brer's mm-hmm. comments. I've obviously read a lot of the reporting, and, you know, now Wes Moreno has apparently canceled the summer meetings over concerns about getting quorum. But if you have three people, you have quorum. So I don't understand that particular objection. But really, it seems like the rumbling from the city council is frustration with the interlocal between the city and the county. Is there any, at this point, any thought that the city and the county might be breaking up and moving to separate library systems?
Well, that's probably the last part of that question is probably more appropriate, at this point for the county, since ultimately the funding mechanism is through a tax. So those are details. I don't know that the what ifs of whether the city would take back its own libraries and all of that. Now, I always say I grew up in a household of lawyers. So I had my dad, my stepdad, my brother. My lawyer joke is I was the only one smart enough to not be a lawyer. Sorry, lawyers out there. So I guess what I'm saying is I think there's really two conversations to be had here. One is the lease.
We'll get him back here in just a second. it's live radio. He's. By the way, the folks who are regulars are so good at this that he's literally, I think, back on the line already. Mayor, are you there, sir? Put him on, John. There we go.
Part of the legal aspect.
Sorry, go ahead, sir.
Part of the legal aspect of what does this mean legally? What's the interlocal say and not say? So our city attorney's office is looking at that. So we actually know what we're talking about when it comes to, and not alleging things that the county can do this and not do this. Let's make sure legally speaking, we understand where everything is. And so we want to do that before we speak on it. Secondly is the financial aspect. I think that's the big question is okay, regardless of what the legal assessment ends up being, about whether the city can or can't do this, the county can or can't do that, it all funnels to one place, which is what is the future of the operations of the library?
Right.
This went to 2012, 2013, where, to be frank with you, the reason this happened, I know one council person said they didn't want it to happen. I believe the context was the city was going bankrupt doing it. That doesn't mean we don't take a look at that, or that doesn't mean that there isn't some viable solution. But I think we need to be in an assessment mode right now to, understand actually legally, not opinion,
right,
but on fact of where things stand. And then secondly is, what are the what-if scenarios moving forward? Yeah. And how would that work? How would the taxing item, is that money that goes to the county and then they would want to give it to the city if they were to break up? I believe the county has the authority to say, hey, we're ending this agreement the same way the city does. So there's still, I think, a lot more to hash out on the back end of this than it is foraying into who has legal high ground on what these particular items in the short term, how they can be handled. Because it's going to end in, Andrew, in my opinion, it's going to end in the same place. It's going to end in, okay, here's the dilemma that we're in. If we don't like how it's going, it's going to be changed. What are our options from that point, I believe?
Right. And I mean, which is, I know your approach to kind of everything is, let's learn so that we have an informed opinion, not just be based on speculation, outrage, or limited information. So I always appreciate that approach.
Right.
We've only got a little bit of time, but I do want to give you a quick second. Florida Doge round two. How excited are you?
Yeah. As excited as you think.
Yep.
listen, you know what they did? They've asked for a lot of public records that any citizen can ask for and fire away. We thought about just sending back the outside audit completed by an outside agency that just got completed clean 3 weeks ago. I'm guessing that won't be sufficient. So they can ask for it, truly, all jokes aside, ask for anything that you'd like. When citizens should be concerned is if we had insecurity about any agency or any person asking for public records, fire away. And now how they want to subjectively assess those public records moving forward, I can't lose any sleep over that. I can't control how they want to determine the subjectivity of those records. That's not my job. My job is to provide them, and my job is to stand up for the decisions that we make at the city of Pensacola. So,
well, maybe so if you do send them that audit, you can assign somebody who works in the city to also explain to them how to read it. Did I say it out loud? Anyway, lightning.
You did, yeah.
I said it. That's right. And I don't say things for no reason. I'll just put it that way. Quick lightning round. On your phone, do you have read receipts always on, sometimes on? You opt to tell people that it's been read. What do you do?
I generally try to not keep them on because I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I'm in and out of meetings. So this line of work, I try to not have them on because then it'll look like I'm ignoring someone. But
I got you.
Yeah, that's a politician in me, I guess.
Inside your home, doors remain open all the time. Doors get closed all the time. Mix and match. What's the process?
I'm assuming you're talking about interior doors.
That's right.
June or July here.
Yeah.
I think we're more, you know, as mayor, I'm so used to an open door policy, Andrew, that I feel like I'm so committed to it. I think we just have an open door policy here at home as well.
Oh my God. I love how you get to be the fake smarmy politician every once in a while. It's fantastic. Last one for you. Does M&M color matter to you? And how do you eat your M&Ms?
Yeah, it does. And it's more of just disqualifiers. Like, I feel like if I'm eating chocolate with colors on it, like a brown M&M isn't very exciting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I at least need a little pop of color. But I will not claim that they taste any different.
Fair enough.
I'm hoping that you don't do that.
And just for your knowledge, we found out yesterday that John Pickens has never, ever eaten one in his entire life and actually asked the question, do the red ones taste like cherry?
Oh, my God. How is that? I mean, y'all get on me about Star Wars and stuff. That's ridiculous. How is that even possible? I think that trumps my no watching Star Wars.
No. The community was fully outraged about it. Mayor D.C. Reeves, as always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again in a little while. And thanks for keeping us informed. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.